It's a delight today that Elliot, one of our youth pastors, Elliot and Sophie lead our youth team and all the youth work. Here's Elliot.
Good morning.
He's going to be speaking to us. I think Karis is going to...
Yeah, so I'm just going to welcome Karis up, who's from the same youth group, actually, as Charles in the church, and she's going to do our reading for us this morning.
Wonderful. I'm going to leave you in these guys' hands and go get changed.
Thank you. Today's reading comes from Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 17. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and this one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it will be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that very hour. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all that were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases."
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Karis. And congratulations to Charles, wherever he is, on getting baptized today. What a wonderful day. Right. Is it possible to get the slide up, that I have prepared? Great. So the section that we've read from is between Jesus' most famous sermon. You might have heard of it, the Sermon on the Mount. And his sending out of the 12 disciples. We have Matthew chapters 8 and 9, and we read a section from Matthew 8. So these are the 9 stories you can see on the screen behind you. So we read about the leper, the centurion servant, and Peter's mother-in-law who got healed. But there's also the calming of the storm, 2 demonized men getting delivered, a paralyzed man getting healed, a dead girl and a sick woman being healed and raised, 2 blind men receiving their sight, and a mute man receiving his speech. And as I said, in the reading, we've read the first 3 stories. But in these 9 stories, we have individuals. We have individual people that are, according to the Jews, on the margins of society. They are the lepers, the unclean, the hated, like the Roman centurion servant. They are ill, people receiving healing. They are demonized people. But they are definitely people on the outside, showing that Jesus comes to all people, even little ones like my son here. And Matthew portrays Jesus' journey coming down from the Sermon on the Mount into Capernaum. He enters Capernaum and he enters people's lives, people's individual lives. Up until this point, Jesus had preached the kingdom. He had taught the kingdom with authority. And now in these stories, he shows the kingdom. He's someone that practices what he preaches and demonstrates what he is wanting to other people to live as well. He's not a hypocrite. Because of the authority he possesses over everything, he... because of the authority that he possesses over everything, because he's God, he has the ability to forgive sins, to do miracles, to deliver people, to calm storms supernaturally. People recognize him as something special. They call him a great teacher. They call him a son of man. They call him son of God. They call him son of David. All really powerful expressions. In this book called Matthew, who was written by the tax collector mentioned in chapter 9, Matthew emphasizes that Jesus is Emmanuel. You might remember that term, which is often read at Christmas, but it means God with us. This isn't just any person. This is God himself living in amongst humanity. In these first three accounts that we heard, we saw that Jesus declared that he was not only able to heal the leprous man, but he was willing. To the centurion, hated probably in amongst Israel because he's a Roman, he's part of the oppressors, he showed not only his willingness to help a hated people group, but showed his ability to heal a servant from a distance. With Peter's mother-in-law, Jesus shows that he can heal just with a touch. He has so much power and life in him that he exudes it. In the other stories, as I've mentioned, he rebukes a storm, casts out demons, forgives sins, heals a chronically ill lady, raises a dead girl to life, restores sight, enables speech, all the while expressing compassion for the harassed and helpless. This is what Jesus is like. He comes to the helpless. He comes to those in need. Truly, as the Apostle Paul says later, he is the fullness of the deity dwelled in bodily form. And he dwelled in such a way that life exuded from his presence, his words, his actions. But even though these stories focus on Jesus, as the baptism has focused on the death and resurrection of Jesus, there are also individuals that respond to him, that interact with him. These people, they follow him. Other people kneel at his feet in humility. Other people ask for help and cry out for his intervention. People give exclamations of devotion, and one person reaches out desperately, even just to touch the edge of Jesus' cloak. But the one thing that they have in common is that they all desire Jesus' intervention in their lives. Some showed real humility before Jesus, even people in higher earthly or religious authority. So like the Roman centurion, who would have been seen as quite an earthly power. Or Jairus, the synagogue leader, who's a high religious power, kneeling at Jesus' feet in humility. Earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus stated that the kingdom of heaven goes to the poor in spirit, those who are humble before God, those who are needy. And these stories show that the humble, those in need, receive the kingdom here. But in all the commotion, all these different stories, Jesus isn't like a hit-and-run evangelist. He just doesn't come into your life and then say, see you later. He calls people to follow him. There are two important calls, as you can see in the slide, after the first three stories and after the second three, there are two really important calls that Jesus says, follow me. In the second one, it actually includes Jesus saying, follow me, to Matthew, the eventual writer of this gospel. It's for, the call is for the original audience as well, and the call is also for us today to follow him, if we want to. In those little passages, Jesus shows that following him is of the highest commitment, requiring the utmost sacrifice. But it also shows that it is truly worthwhile. It is truly a path of life. It's evident from these stories that we've seen that Jesus not only comes and brings healing and power and fullness of life, but he also carves out a pathway. He also walks a pathway that we can follow to continuously experience that life, that power, that love, that direction. He is the leader, the forerunner of the way of life. Now, consequently, the disciples who have been most impacted by Jesus, who have spent most time with him, in his life and ministry, the ones who most experience his life-giving ways, they end up joining in with what Jesus is doing. So in chapter 10, after these nine stories, the disciples are actually sent out by Jesus. And he instructs them to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven has come near, to cure the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse those with skin diseases, cast out demons, because freely they received, so freely they were compelled to give. You see, the ones closest to Jesus, they realized that they could be conduits of Jesus' life in their lives, in their settings, in their sphere of influences. Now, as you're listening to this message, maybe you would consider yourself a disciple of Jesus. Or maybe you might have experienced some of his life-giving power, but you're not really sure what following him looks like. Or maybe you don't believe in him at all and you don't see his relevance to life in any way. No matter what, Jesus is inviting us all today to follow him. I also know that in this church family, there are so many people that have been impacted by Jesus coming into their lives and giving them life and transforming them. I've met and been impacted by people from every race, religion, culture, background that have experienced Jesus and then ended up following him and brought life and healing where they've walked. Charles getting baptized is a great example of someone being impacted by Jesus. And at the beginning of your journey, Jesus is saying, follow me. And wherever that may lead, it's going to be a wonderful journey for you. So bless you in that. But there are loads of other people in this church that have also walked this journey. When I was preparing this preach, I thought of Sarah in our church family. Some of you may know her. She was called by Jesus when she was 10 years old. He led her on a wonderful adventure, following him to different countries to serve him and other people. In her own words, she says, if she had her own way, she may have been on the first flight home on those occasions. Recently, she went to Poland to help with the Ukrainian refugee crisis over there, and she serves this church wonderfully. As I continued to think, I thought of Abby, who asked Jesus into her life as an 11-year-old after reading an invitation in a devotional. She felt slowly flooded with a warmth that has never left her. His presence and spirit has brought her joy and comfort through difficult times of loneliness, shame, and deep anger. His faithful love has helped her to remain hopeful with a desire to bring that hope to other people around her. She's an amazing youth team member as well. My mind then wandered to Jack, who was brought up in a non-Christian household. He started going to a Christian youth group and learned about Jesus. One evening, whilst he was revising and listening to the famous song, In Christ Alone, he just felt a flood of fullness come into his life. He felt peace that he had never experienced before. This changed him and how he saw himself and others. This has led him into serving God in children's mental health, and he expresses his faith to others in his workplace. Finally, I thought of a guy who was low, dejected, hopeless, and entrenched in his own unforgiveness years ago now. Jesus invited him into a relationship at a Christian festival and to leave all those life-restricting things behind. To leave the hopelessness and bitterness behind, to take up new life, a new existence, a new relationship with Jesus. He had no idea of what would entail or the convoluted journey that would ensue after accepting that invitation. But it has been a journey full of life and love and very real encounters with the Holy Spirit as he's experienced God's love. Needless to say, it's led him to being a youth worker at this church and to speaking in front of you this morning. But we all have our own stories, our own journeys, where Jesus steps into our life and says, follow me. We all have our own opportunities to come to Jesus, to ask for his intervention, to kneel before him, to beckon him into our lives, because essentially we are all poor and needy. The only difference is that some people know their need and some people don't. So the question today is, will we follow? Will we follow or get muddled in the options or other roads that life has? Will we follow and be conduits of his life to those around us? Will we humble ourselves before God this morning and each day of our lives and ask for Jesus' leadership and lordship in our lives, no matter what? The choice is ours. So as I come to the end, I'm going to give us all an opportunity now as the band come up. They're going to play some music, and I would invite us all to stand if you're able. And as the band gently plays in the background, picture this as a time where we can come before Jesus quietly, with music in the background. Maybe close your eyes if you find that helpful. And ask his help and intervention in our lives again today. Ask for his leadership. Ask him to show us the way forward. You're welcome to come to the front, to sit, to kneel, to stand. We can arrange for people to pray with you as well as we all recommit our lives to Jesus again today. And that might be a commitment for the first time this morning, or it might be a commitment for the 10,000th time. But it's just an important daily commitment that we have as we experience Jesus' life. So I'm going to pray. And as I said, I welcome you to stand if you want, or to come to the front to kind of just make that declaration. I am committing myself to Jesus again today. So let's pray. Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus, who came into this world and entered into our lives. I pray and I ask for your help, Jesus, in each one of our lives to lead us into the way of life. I pray for your healing, for your deliverance, for your help, for your peace to impact us right now, as I ask for your Holy Spirit to fill us. You're not just a concept, Jesus. You're not just a metaphor. You are a real person and a real God. And I pray that we would feel you right now, tangibly, in whatever way you want to reveal us to yourself to us now. Thank you, Lord. So we're just going to wait whilst the band play and just have your own time with God now.